Speaking about tools, turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus. After I just insulted you. You know, the one thing I know is that when you start looking at the callings of individuals in Scripture, Exodus chapter 31 is where we're going to start off this morning, you find that the Lord, as we saw with Peter the other day, the Lord uses certain ways, certain individuals, to call certain people to certain works. And I say all of that to give us the understanding that God has a specificity of who He wants and the way He is going to use them. We don't really get a say in that. We don't really get to say, Lord, I'm going to be used this way and this way only. When I had realized the Lord was working in my life to do something, I wasn't sure whether it was missionary or just a youth pastor or a junior church teacher. I just, you know, it was one of those issues of, you know, I respond to I surrender all at the altar up at Open Door Baptist Church and said, Lord, I am willing to do whatever it is you want me to do. I do surrender all, just I cannot be a pastor. Yeah, well, the Lord said, really? Okay, then tag, you're it. You don't put limitations on the way God uses you. And one thing that I know is when you look at Peter and you look at others in Scripture, God develops that man or woman for His use prior to being called in any way, shape, or form. There are things that we go through in our life that the Lord uses to form us and shape us and to bring us to a point of service for His glory, honor, and praise. Not for ours. Not to say, oh, hey, look at that person, things of that nature. You know, when I was over there at Treasure Valley, there's a bunch of pastors over there. Nobody's sitting there, you know, glorying in the work that they created. Nobody's sitting there saying, hey, look at how I grew the church. Hey, look at how I built the church. Nobody was saying that because we all were very humble and realized, hey, we didn't do it. God is the one that gives the increase. God is the one that added to the church daily in Acts. It wasn't the apostles. It was God. And we find that the Lord develops individuals in a way that leads them to this service that He has called them to. In Acts chapter 31, we find, as we start here in verse 1, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bazael, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled them with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and the cutting of stones to set them, and the carving of timber, the work of all manner of workmanship. When I look at this, I can realize very clearly he was a general contractor. Amen? he had stonework down. He had all of these things. He knew how to, you know, he was framing. He knew all of it. Amen. And it says in verse 6, and I behold have given with him Aholiab the son of Amashach, the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise hearted I have put wisdom, that they make all things that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation and the ark of the testimony and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle and the table and his furniture and the and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture. Interesting, just notice the gender there. Just moving on. And it says, and the laver and his foot, and the clothes of service, and the holy garments of for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just approach you this morning, Lord, and approach your word prayerfully with humbleness of heart and mind. That, Lord, we would learn something from you, whether it is a simple understanding or whether it is something that we meditate upon and, Lord, you use in our life to grow us and develop us. Lord, we just desire this morning to be used of you in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, we just thank you so much for what you have given to us in your word. We thank you for the calling that we all have, Lord, to be ambassadors. We thank you all for the calling of the ministry of reconciliation, wherewith we tell people how they can be reconciled to you, the holy and righteous God that has given us salvation, that has given us your word to tell us and teach us, to show us you, to show us your heart and your desires and your will. And Lord, I just pray this morning that we would take these things by your Holy Spirit, use them, Lord, in a way that would glorify you, honor and praise all that you have done, the mighty works of your hand that you have done in our lives and those around us. Lord, again, we just thank you so much for all that you have done. And this we do ask in your Son's precious and most holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we see this passage of Scripture, we see an interesting thing happening. And if you turn back to a couple chapters over in chapter 28, and we find in verse 3, something else that was mentioned here. The Lord begins to build upon this principle in verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. One thing that I see that is repeated over and over and over and over and over again in all of this is these individuals that are being used have been given something before they were even called. Here is Moses telling them, or being told by God, saying, hey, you're going to go tell these people, tag, you're it. Hey, you know what? You know all of these things. The Lord has told me to come to you and for you to do these things. And why is that? Because the Lord had already worked on them to develop that trait, to develop that skill, to develop what was necessary for the building of that tabernacle. God had worked in all of that. But most importantly, what he had done before Moses even approached these individuals is he had filled those individuals with his spirit, with his wisdom, with his understanding, and with his knowledge. This wasn't just something. Look, folks, this is not just something that he knew how to carve something. You know, this pulpit has been around for a long time. I think it's probably either early 80s or something of that nature. It used to be Pastor Blues up at Open Door Baptist Church. Jason Murphy switched out pulpits, and I said, I want that. I like that. Pastor Blue was a big guy, and this one fits me. The previous one was a little shorter, and it was a little more difficult for me to use. This one works great. I love this pulpit. Somebody made this. Somebody had wisdom about how to do this. I couldn't build this. This is not something that I have the knowledge or the technical expertise how to do. I don't know who built it. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if it was purchased. There's no manufacturer or anything on this thing. All I know is that it was well-crafted. It is held up over the course of time. And if you've ever had to move this pulpit, you understand why it is built the way it is. This thing is solid. This thing is firm. The pulpit at Treasure Valley Baptist Church, it has a lining on the inside that is plated for certain reasons. And it's like, whoa, it has little wheels that you have to move it on. It's not something you can just easily pick up. It has to be wheeled off because it weighs a significant amount. Somebody had craftsmanship to do that. Somebody had knowledge how to do those things. Those are physical things. But what we find here that in order to do some of those physical things, the Lord had to fill that individual with his spirit to do it. You know what that means? It means that there had to be a willingness first and foremost. There had to be a want there to receive the spirit in the first place. This had to be somebody that was willing to say, hey, you know, I know the Lord is working on me to develop me and to grow me and to put me in this. And he's given me all these things and resources and tools of how to do it. You know, none of these people would have been chosen. None of these people would have been used if they sat there and said, I don't want to learn. I don't want to know that. Dad, why do I have to learn how to engrave? Dad, I don't want to be a jeweler. Dad, do I have to go into construction, really? What do you want to do, son? I want to be an influencer. No. Go look that up in Scripture, and it's not good, all right? Amen? Go over to the book of Acts, and you see a lot of people influencing a lot of people in the wrong way, amen? But these were individuals that truly were willing to use what God had already worked on them to develop for His glory. This was the tabernacle of God. This is where God would come down in the cloud and would fill it. This is where the Holy of Holies was. This is where the center of worship all was. This was not something that was just hot, you know, just cobbled together in an instant. You know, sometimes individuals they do things with the best of intentions, but they do it without full understanding. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean this. There is something that is known in the Baptist circles as Baptist workmanship. Amen? There is the person that's the expert, the contractor, the person that knows how to do those things, that knows how to properly frame and make things square. There's like Mike, who knows how to put stone on there to make what we refer to as the tombstone out front because it's killed three cars. That thing is solid. That took skills and workmanship that the Lord developed in him to do that. Everything there. Then sometimes somebody comes along and says, hey, I couldn't do that. And you look at it and you go, I don't think that meets OSHA. That's not building code. Poor Bob has had to deal with some of the things in this building and understanding some of this was cobbled together by people. And a lot of it has been frustrating. A lot of it has led to electricians walking in and looking at it with a raised eyebrow of like, what? Who did what? Why is that here? Why is that, you know, there's a lot. But what we realize is that this was done for the specific glory of God in a specific way that God wanted. This wasn't about their artistic ability. This wasn't about their license to do so. This was the Spirit of God moving in them to say, I want you to shape that stone just like this. I want you to make that curve on that jewel just like that. I want you to bend that brass and that gold. I want you to make it this way. This is what the Spirit of God was there to do. The wisdom that was required and needed to do that. And here we find this substantial group of Israelites in all of this. And I want you to note a lot of the description that is here in these passages. And if you will turn over to chapter 35, as this continues on in this book and continues on in the book of Exodus. Chapter 35, look at what it says in verse 26. And all those women, all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. Ladies, I'm not a lady. Amen. All right? How many of you, I mean, is this something that you guys just naturally know how to spin goat's hair? I don't. How many here know how to spin goat's hair? I rest my case. That's not a natural thing. It's not a natural thing for a guy to swing a hammer. It's not a natural thing for him to know how to dig a hole. What does it mean? It means that they had to be taught how to do this. From youth, they were taught and they were trained and they were developed. And what happened here is these women, that everyone is getting involved, and somebody, these women came along and they said, hey, I know how to do that. Hey, I know how to make that. I'm going to spin some goat's hair. I'm going to put it together. I'm going to weave it the way it needs to be woven. But this heart that is stirred up, I want you to notice what it says here. It says it stirred them up in what? Wisdom. Folks, you've heard it from me before. You've heard it from the Word of God. You've heard it from other pastors and preachers and teachers. Where does wisdom come from? God. It does not come. This is not worldly wisdom. Somebody says, well, it's wisdom in the sense that they knew how. No, this is wisdom that was given to them by God to do that. Not every woman could do that. No ladies here could. How many here, ladies here make your own thread? Again, I rest my case. I mean, I understand that back in the day, a lot of people knew how to do those type of things. Now, people are like, well, go to Joann's Fabric. I guess you can't go to Joann's anymore, right? Whatever place is in business anymore, I don't know anymore. I guess you go on Amazon and you order your thread, right? Wherever it comes from. The Lord had developed these people to do these things. Notice this. As we look at chapter 35, verse 31. Here are these individuals that he had previously mentioned. And it says in verse 31, it says, and he hath filled them with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and knowledge in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold and silver and brass and the cutting of stones, to set them in the carving of wood, and to make all manner of cunning work. Why is the purpose that he has done this? I want you to take a look at the next verse. Verse 34, and he hath put in his heart that he may teach. That he may teach. The Lord had developed him as a teacher. But you know what needed to be there first before he could teach this was the Spirit of God working in his life. To build something for God. It continues on. Take a look at chapter 36. Or excuse me, look at chapter 36, verse 1. It says, and when Bezalel and Eliab had, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord had, Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. These are individuals, again, he had put this into them. This was not something that was just, you know, that they could go to YouTube and learn. This wasn't something that was, you know, necessarily a class that they could attend at the local library or community college. This was something that the Lord had worked in their heart to give them the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of how to do that. There was individuals that knew how to use the metals. There were those that knew how to cut the stone. There were those that knew how to use the timbers. Why? Because the Lord had put somebody in there to teach them how to do that. To teach them how to do that. It's very clear, and when you look at verse 2, and it says, and Moses called Bezalel and Eliab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord put wisdom, even every one of them whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. I want you to think about that for a moment. The Lord had already done a work in them. The Lord had already put His Spirit in them. The Lord had already put the wisdom in them. The Lord had already put the understanding in them. And what happened is when they got that, their heart got stirred up. They said, you know what? We are going to do this for God. And you know what? We're going to do it God's way. We're going to do it God's way. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it God's way. Remember what happened to Aaron's sons when they did it their way? It didn't end well. It didn't end well. There was a lot of people that did some things that didn't do it God's way. And it doesn't end well.
Right.
It doesn't end well. God said, these individuals, look, these are the guys you're going to call. Why? Because he knew their heart, and he knew what he had put in them, and he knew that it was going to get stirred up so that they would do it all the way that the Lord commanded. The Lord commanded. And look at what it says there in that last part of verse 2 in chapter 36, whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. It wasn't just stirred up, and then they didn't do anything. They did it. The same thing over there in chapter 31, where it says that they did it. It was to do it. It was to accomplish what God needed accomplished. You know, when we start thinking about this passage, we can make some parallels in our own life about what God is working and doing in ours. God has given each one of us something unique and different. While we may have some similarities and there may be things that we share in some common traits and some common skills, but God has developed us in a way that he wants us to fit in a certain spot to do something for him. To do something for him. And we should understand that this wisdom obviously has origins from the Lord. This is not worldly wisdom, but it has a spiritual root in God's spirit that led into a physical stem for them to accomplish something that was openly seen by all. That was there for the purpose of drawing near to God. While yes, they had some benefit from it, the benefit was for the congregation of people, of Israel. That was the purpose behind it. This is what God had developed in them. This is what God was doing. What God wanted, he accomplished, and it was not something that just could have been performed by anyone. They didn't just grab some guy and go, you over there, what's your name? Joe? Joe, come here. Do you know how to do this? Okay, well, why don't you take your best effort at that? Go ahead and give it a whirl. Why don't you try it? No, the Lord said, I don't want those. I want those that I've stirred up. Yeah. I want those that I've selected. I want those that I told my man Moses to go talk to them. That's what I want. I want those people. I want those people. You know, there was an inspiration of God, dare I say, to form, to weave, to build, to construct that tabernacle the way that God wanted it with those exact specifications. You ever go through and read those things about all of the rings and all the poles and the staffs and the skins and you know, you read through it and you're like, and you're struggling to comprehend all of it. So you go and you take a look at a picture of the tabernacle. And you're like, and you're looking at it and goes, is that really what it looked like? And you're like, I don't know. I wasn't there. I mean, you can maybe ask some of the people here that are older that were there. nobody's that. But you understand what I'm saying is we were there. We have no idea. I mean, we've got an understanding a little bit about the, you know, the size of it and the exact nature of it. I don't know what every little detail looked like, but they did. God did. God had moved in them to do these things. God moved in them specifically to put it together the exact way that they were supposed to do it. And what that required was somebody that was wise enough to realize, this isn't mine. The work that you do is not yours. It belongs to God. We do it for God. Remember the talents that were given by the master to the servants? Whose talent was it? Did he give it to them and say, hey, you go spend this as you will? No. He said, you go and you take it and you grow it. And they did, except for one, whom that lord of the house said, you could have at least got it, could have gotten interest on it. You know, nowadays people are like, oh, I'm going to put it in the savings account. And you're like, woohoo, you get that 1%. You get that statement at the end of the year for your taxes, and you're like, oh, hey, I got a full $10.16. Yay. You're like, no, there's better ways of invest. But the Lord said, look, it's not about the quantity. It's never about the quantity. It's about the quality. These individuals were doing it with quality in mind for God. The intent behind all of it is it being done for the Lord, or is it being done for self? And we find here that these individuals are called to do these things. It couldn't have been built just by men unless the Lord was involved. And just ponder for a moment. Remember what happened at the base of the mountain when Moses was up there? Did they go to these guys and say, make us a golden calf? Who'd they go to? Aaron. You think Aaron knew how to do that? You ever think, again, go back to all those things that you've seen in Sunday school and those images, and you see this beautifully crafted golden calf and everything. I'm sorry, I'm going to preach a little of my Ken Stewart to you. I don't think it looked like that. I think Aaron was like, calf? Okay. Like, bring one over here, and he like throws everything and he gets it all melted and he's like taking it out. Ooh, that's hot. You know, and he's like carving it. And you know how when your kid brings you something that they've made for you? And they hand it to you, and you go, look what I made. And you're like, yeah. And you're like, yeah, it's a beautiful, and you're waiting, you know, hoping to get the cue, and they're like, it's a car. Oh, where are the wheels? Right there, and right there. Oh, okay, well, has it been in a wreck? Is it totaled? Where did this come from? You know, you smile and you take it and you're like, and what do? We treasure it, right? Sometimes that's what we do with God. But I'll tell you this, you know what, God, He wants a specific way of how we do things.
Yeah.
But one thing I know is, I don't think that calf, in my opinion, was all that beautiful. Because it was a really, really quick work to put that together. It took time for them to build this. It wasn't done overnight. Those specifications, that's not something that you just, they had that thing erected in 24 hours. Moses or Aaron went over there and he built up whatever that thing was, that calf, and he probably did his best effort to try to make it look like something. But they used the wrong guy to build that. But they used the wrong guy because it was the wrong thing to do. They were worshiping the wrong thing. It led to some bad decisions. That's just kind of a side note. Turn over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And I want to make some application for us just briefly here for a moment. We realize that, yeah, the Lord called all those individuals to build something for Him, to build a tabernacle, to build a house of God. The Lord calls us to do the same thing. And we find over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, a familiar passage that says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You know, the Lord asked us to build a temple. A lot of people will apply this personally, but I don't think it's just personal. I think it's congregational. I think it's body of Christ. I think it is something that when you start comparing Scripture with Scripture and you go over to things even like over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what do you wind up seeing? You see some things that are meant and intended to build something greater than just yourself. All that the Lord had given those men was and women was not wisdom for self. It wasn't self-knowledge. It wasn't so that they could do those things just only for their benefit, but it was for the benefit of the entire people, the nation of Israel. That tabernacle was the center of the camp. Here we find something similar. If we're the temple, and you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and Jesus Christ is that foundation, and we're building on that foundation, and we're building what we learned from the prophets and from the apostles, as we saw the other night when we were looking at the commissions, when we start realizing that the Lord's asking us to build something and to build it in a certain way, it is everybody working together, not to build their own separate thing, but working together in conjunction. If you go over to 1 Corinthians 12, let's turn there. I made reference to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. What was one of the key things that we saw over there with those individuals? They had to have the Spirit of God. They had to have the Spirit of God. You know, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is in you. Praise God, He doesn't leave you. You're already full of the Holy Ghost. You already have Him in you. And I will tell you this, one thing that we see is that Spirit is there for a reason, because we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To profit with all. Does it say to profit with self? No. With all is kind of a self-defining word. What does with all mean? It means with all? Well, who's that? Everyone? Look, folks, the Holy Spirit is not just for you. When He calls you to do something, He's calling you to do something so that it profits everyone in the body of Christ. It profits each one of us when God calls you to do it. It's not just about you. It's never just about us, is it? It's the body of Christ. And you know what? It's profit with all for believers and unbelievers. Is it not profitable that we would tell an unbeliever how they can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Is it not profitable to tell individuals, to comfort individuals, to edify individuals, to exhort, to rebuke some individuals? Amen, it is. And we find as we go on further in this chapter, he says in verse 8, I want you to notice this, he says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Not everybody's got a word of wisdom, right? Moving on. Gonna refrain. To other, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Not everybody knows everything. There are certain things I don't know. I know a plethora about stuff that really I shouldn't know. I mean, really, who honestly needs to sit there and know everything that about chemical and biological agents used in warfare? I know it. That doesn't profit anybody. I don't know the entire Bible. I'm never going to, as I said this morning. I may know some things. Somebody may know something else. But all of that is given by what? The self-same Spirit. Notice the capital S that's there. Well, who is that? That's the same Spirit that we saw over in the Old Testament that we find here. He's also referred to as the Holy Ghost over there in 1 Corinthians 6. They're one and the same. To another in verse 9, by the same Spirit, or excuse me, to another faith by the same Spirit, there are some people that will help you increase your faith. There are also some people that will help you doubt, amen, by a different Spirit. It goes on to the other, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. We understand the context that was there. To the other, the working of miracles. We, again, understand that context. To another, prophecy, which we understand is very specific, and it's not always what people think it is. Amen. To another, discerning of spirits. There are some people that can discern, that's not right, this is right, so on and so forth. Some people have more discernment than others. Amen, amen, and amen. To others, diverse kinds of tongues. Some people can speak multiple languages. I don't. I took 2 1/4 of French, and I took it for the purpose of reading it, and I can barely speak it. I know some insults in Arabic and in some stuff over there in Serbian and Bosnian and stuff like that. So that's about it. But in verse 11, it says, what is it, excuse me, to continue on, it says, to the other, the interpretation of tongues. Some people are artful interpreters. Because when you start interpreting into other languages, they don't always match up, amen? I was talking to somebody over there, and they said, you realize that the Spanish language only has a vocabulary of about 5,000 words? So when we use 5 words to describe something, they use 1 word that kind of sort of fits. You need somebody that's wise to know how to do that, amen? In verse 11, it says, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You know, severally as he will, that word severally means this. It means that each one has an individual purpose and task. While they're all collected together, each one has been developed and designed to do a certain thing. Certain people worked on the stones. Certain people worked on the timbers. Certain people worked on spinning goat's hair. Somebody worked on making all of the little rings. Somebody worked on, you know, the shape. Somebody worked on the Ark of the Testimony. Somebody worked on the mercy seat. Somebody worked on all of it, right? Why? So that it would be thoroughly furnished. Just like we all need to be. It's what the Word of God does. That's how we go about using that same Spirit to encourage and edify others in this calling. All of these things we begin to look at, and we realize this is the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is using and moving in our hearts to do His will and to use His wisdom to accomplish whatever it is that God has asked us to do. So when we realize that we are all called to do something for the Lord, no one is called to warm a pew, amen? Now I understand that some people do have that type of a role. They are there as an encouragement. It is encouraging when I see you all sitting in the pew. When I don't see people sitting in the pew, I'm not as encouraged. Why? Because I'm hoping everything's okay. I'll reach out. All right, you okay? Is everything all right? Our brother Dale isn't here today because he's not feeling well. There's people at the conference that I went to that usually are there. They weren't there. You know, those things. They are an encouragement. But I will tell you this, what I mean by that is you can be the best person sitting in the pew, encouraging, listening, growing, waiting for whatever it is the Lord's going to ask you to do next. The Lord had developed those people in the Old Testament long before He ever asked them to build that tabernacle. Long before He had ever asked them to build that. This is the same Spirit. You know, it's the same Spirit that Jesus points out to His apostles there, the 11 in the upper room in chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. When He says He's going to send the Comforter, and the Comforter is going to come and do what? Teach them all things. He's going to teach them wisdom. He's going to give them knowledge. He's going to give them understanding. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us right now. You know, all of the stuff that we're reading here and we're seeing, while it may have been written a little bit ago, is still applicable today. The Lord is still doing the same thing today. The Lord is still moving in the hearts of believers today. He is still developing people to follow a calling today for something that may not be done today, but may be done later. We never know. We never know. Turn over to, just turn to John chapter 14, just really quickly. I want you to see something here. John chapter 14. And we find in verse 12, that verse that I just was, in verse 26, that verse that I was referencing where it says the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. That's the same one, right? Same one that we saw over there. It's Him. That's God. That's who He is. It's the Trinity. Amen. That's Him. That's Him, and He's going to teach all things, bring to remembrance all things, all of those. Why? Because back up to verse 12 and see why the Lord is sending Him. Sending that Holy Spirit, sending the Holy Ghost, sending the Comforter for this purpose. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Meditate on that verse for a while. Meditate on its arrangement, meditate on those words, and think about it and what God's asking you to do. God's asking you to do a great work right now. But it's going to take some time to get whatever it is the Lord is asking you to do. He may have already prepared you. But you need to be stirred up in your spirit to be willing to respond, to do that work. You know, when we think about all of what we see here, this same Spirit being prevalent throughout Scripture, being revealed throughout Scripture through 1 Corinthians, Exodus, John, even Acts, various different other things that we reference. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that enabled the person to build the tabernacle, to build the temple, to build what He's designed, and to build His body today. You go through and you see there's various different members of the body of Christ doing certain things. Not everybody's got the same position. There's going to be difference of administrations. People are going to do things differently. It's just the way that they are. The hand doesn't do the same thing that the hand does. And you realize even when you have mirrored portions, your left hand and right hand don't do the same things. Unless you're ambidextrous. How many of you over here, you know, are right-handed? How many of you are lefties? How many of you lefties have ever tried to write with your right hand? How'd that turn out for you? How many of you righties tried to write with your left hand? You're like, this is the most miserable thing. And now all the lefties said, amen. Can always tell the lefties work in school. It was smeared. I mean, they could definitely write Arabic. That's not a problem. But again, writing the other way is totally different. Not everything does the same thing. Not all of those people were doing the same thing. But they were all called to build one thing. They were all called to build one thing. And I want us to understand this morning. A very simple point, I guess. Point one of this message is simply this. The understanding element that ties all of this together is the wisdom of the Holy Spirit of God, which is given through His Word and is taught by the Holy Ghost, so that we will be able to build what God asks us to build. It might be building up another believer, not tearing him down, amen. It might be building a congregation. It might be building something else in the body of Christ. It might be building some other men over in India. Who knows? Whatever it may be, it is all for the purpose and the glory of God. The one that we come together and worship. That is the idea and the concept. God calls us to do that. Just like He called Israel to build, He calls us to do the same. 1 Corinthians, the whole book is about a building exercise. It's a building exercise. And it's something that is for the glory of God. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank You for this day that You've given to us. And Lord, I thank You so much for all that You have taught us and shown us. And Lord, while the message this morning may be simple, I pray, Lord, that we would understand it with the simplicity in You. That we would understand that You have called us to a work. You have given us each something that we can do. While we can't all do the same, Lord, we can do some. We can do something for You. Lord, I pray that we have a humbleness of heart and a humility, Lord, to be willing to see it. As You have filled us with Your Holy Spirit upon salvation, Lord, I pray that we would listen to that Spirit in all wisdom and understanding and knowledge, that You would guide us and direct us into exactly what it is You are asking us to do, whatever the call may be. And Lord, we understand the general call. But Lord, sometimes, every now and then, there is something specific You ask us to do. And Lord, I pray that we would be wise-hearted and stirred up, Lord, to hear, to listen, and to follow You. I do pray, Lord, You continue to work in our hearts as we ponder this message. Specifically, even as we close with an invitation. And if You're working on our hearts, Lord, may we respond to service. And I ask this in Your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.